How are y'all? Awesome. It's so good to have you here. And if you are by live stream, we see you too. Thank you for chiming in. We got a Facebook live stream going. Some people were asking, they couldn't make it out in the snow. So we're glad for anyone tuning in through that. It is awesome to be together on Christmas Eve. This is one of my favorite times of the year. How many is it like one of your favorite times? Quite a few. All right, a lot of hands. lots of the kids. They're like keeping their hands up still. For myself, when I was 10 years old, as like looking at Christmas, I was so excited because something had come out on VHS. Yes, VHS. It was not Star Wars. It was Home Alone. Home Alone 1. And I was like so excited to get this video. I did get it, and I watched it a ton to the point where I had the entire thing memorized. Where one of my friend's mother said, "No, you guys don't." And we were like, "Yeah, we do." So we proceeded and told the entire movie, he and I. But that wasn't what I was most excited about. The thing I was most excited about that Christmas morning was actually a red robe like Kevin McAllister. No joke. I could not wait to get a robe like Kevin McAllister from the movie Home Alone. And so we opened them all up. I got the robe. I put that thing on immediately. And I don't think I took it off till Christmas break was over. Like all the pictures that Christmas, they have the robe in it. I shoveled in the robe. I think I slept in the robe, ate in the robe. I mean, I was so thrilled because I had been looking forward to this. And isn't it so good to actually receive something you've been longing for? Yeah, how many can relate? And this is really what Christmas is all about. Because Christmas was this longing in the people of God, Israel, waiting for the long-awaited Messiah, which we often, you'll hear, yeah, there was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But in reality, they were longing a lot longer than 400 years. That was just 400 years after the exile when they had come back to Israel. What they were really longing for was all the way back to Moses, because God had even said through Moses, "I will send another like him." They were longing for this anointed one, the Messiah to come, who would be from Christ, who would take over in a way, like conquer evil in a way that his righteousness, his goodness, his loving faithfulness would come through and he would reign over everyone. This is what God's people longed for. And then the story of Christmas unfolds. And we've been walking through it in this season of Advent where we found hope and peace and joy. And we've looked at three different songs through this season, the songs of Mary and how the angels came and told Mary that you are chosen and you're going to have this son. And then we saw that there was also another son being born, John the Baptist, a cousin to Jesus, and his father was a priest and didn't believe and was silenced until his son was born. And then he was able to speak again, and we looked at his song and how we find peace that comes through Christ. And then we also looked last week at joy, the joy that the shepherds had as they looked at the angels coming. And I love that too. Have you ever thought about that? Like Christ came, his birth was at night, which the angels show up and it's just brilliant glory for the shepherds. Imagine if they came at like 10 a.m. Like, God tells an amazing story, doesn't he? And if I wrote this story, I would have written nothing that's in the actual story. Because I think sometimes we think it has to be perfect. How many of you love the picture-perfect holiday moments? You long for those in your house. You want the perfect tree, the perfect decorations, the perfect cookies, perfect family meal. You sit down, your tree looks like it's dead. Like my tree right now, I bought a dead tree. Like, you know you buy a dead tree. Like, this thing barely has needles left. It has shed more than any other year. My wife and I, we're just tired of it. I'm like, can't wait till this day's over. This tree's out. All right? It's not picture perfect. And then you get the whole meal set. Everyone comes. Actually, does that actually happen? Or do they come all at different times? You're like, where's Uncle So-and-so? Oh, they're in the bathroom still. You know what I mean? It's like getting just everyone there. And then you get there and you're like, oh, forgot something. We have, like, it's just imperfect, and yet the memories we keep are usually the ones that are imperfect. It's not the perfect ones. Those are forgettable. Perfect moments are forgettable. You ever realize that? It's the imperfect moments that capture you. Like the funny photos, I have friends who've taken Christmas pictures. The ones I remember are the ones where the kid's like crazy. You know what I'm talking about. And this is what's so brilliant about God's storytelling of his own son coming. It's so imperfect. Like it was not perfect at all. The fact that he came to a couple who are going to have the kid, they're not even married yet. The fact that there's a census, so they have to travel. They're not even around family. They have to go back to their place of origin. They have no place to live. They end up staying, you know, the nativity scene picture, whether it's a cave or a barn, whatever you want to, your understanding of it is. I mean, it wasn't perfect. And then the baby Jesus is laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough, and wrapped in linen. That's just ripped off of clothes that they had. So imperfect, yet it's such an amazing picture. And I love what it communicates. It's like he's coming to an imperfect world, becoming one of us, with us. And the story we're looking at tonight is this long-awaited longing being fulfilled. And the story we're looking at is the guy by the name of Simeon. And what's interesting is it's a little further out than the normal Christmas Eve story. This isn't like the angels, the night that it happened. This is 7 days later. It says they named Jesus and he was circumcised, or 8 days later. And then it says, when the time of purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of the child, came, so his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That purification period was 33 days. So this is like, this happened a while ago. This is 33 days later. So over a month has passed, and now they're heading to Jerusalem to take him there as the law of the Lord says. Because basically from the early days, the first child was, firstborn son was to be given to the Lord. And if you didn't want to like give him to the Lord and that was it, he's dead, or given to full-time ministry, like you would offer something in return. And so what was supposed to be the offering was a sheep or a goat. And in this case, if you were really poor, you would give birds. And if you were even poorer than that, you would give, I think it was flour. And so it says, the law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So he's dedicated. So they offer the sacrifice required, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which shows you that Mary and Joseph are poor. They can't afford a sheep or a goat. So they give this child, they dedicate this child. And when they arrive there, it says, at this time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and he was righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. What I love right there is a lot of people think, like as a Christ follower, to have an incredible story or testimony, you have to like go off the beaten path, do a bunch of sinful stuff, and then God brings you back. Kind of like that, the story of the prodigal son. But what I love about this is, this isn't that. This is Simeon. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's following the law as best he can. And look at what happens. It says he was righteous. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit, this is God. Like throughout the Old Testament, you see this with prophets and kings. They don't really mention this a whole lot, but this is a guy named Simeon, following the Lord. The Holy Spirit is upon him and had revealed, like the greatest promise you could ever get, revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Unbelievable promise. And so he didn't just have the expectation of like, I'm waiting for the Messiah. No, I've been told I'm going to see him. Could you imagine? And he believed it. I mean, that's the part that he's human. He actually believed that the Spirit of God told him he would see the Messiah's, this coming of the Messiah. And so that day, talking about the day that Joseph and Mary are coming to the temple, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. And I don't know what that looked like. You can imagine many ways. The Lord prompts him. He goes to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. And that's just great hope for us, encouraging to all of us that if we follow the Lord, he's going to get the timing right. He always has. His timing's never off, never slow. Some of you may be in a season of waiting, and God's just encouraging you right here to say, look, if I can get Simeon where he needs to be to see this baby at the right time, when he has no idea, my timing's right for you. My timing is perfect. And so he sees the child, which imagine that moment. He sees Mary and Joseph, and he's like, hey, can I see your baby? Like, how did that go? You know, Mary's probably like, Joseph may have stepped in between. Who are you? Are you a priest? What is this? Anyway, this scene unfolds, and he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. He doesn't just, like, believe he's going to see. He's having faith. He's holding this baby, and realizing this is the Messiah. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He, this little baby, is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. A light to reveal God to the nations. How many of you know the power of light? If you've ever been in complete darkness, you know the power of light. Have you ever had power go out in your house and you didn't know where you put the flashlight? Yeah, that's a fun moment. Stumbling around. If you have kids, they're screaming. I remember I was backpacking years ago, and we were at night. We had climbed all day, and we were going to hike to this cliff line about 2-3 miles away. And we start on this hike, and I realize I don't have my headlamp. So I'm trying to follow them. Their lights are all bouncing everywhere. They're like, walk in front of us, which only casts a shadow. I'm like, this doesn't work. I said, you guys hike ahead. I'm just going to hang back, let my eyes adjust in the darkness, and just kind of stumble my way up following the little bouncing light. I'll get there eventually. And I can't tell you how good it was to finally get to the top of that, and the fire was lit. And the glow happened. I was just thrilled. And the scriptures say that a lot of us are like that. We're bumbling around in the darkness. It says all of us are in the dark, apart from God. And so the beauty of Christmas is that the light came into the darkness. He came into the world for everyone. This is what John says, 1 John. He says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And that is the promise we have. Like Simeon had the promise, you're going to see the Messiah, and it was fulfilled. How amazing is that moment? Yet this is the promise to each and every one of us, that the light came into the world, and those who believe in him will become sons and daughters. That's what Christmas is about. And if you want to summarize, what is Christmas? In one verse, it's this. So the Word became human and made his home among us. The Word is God. He was faithful. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. His unfailing love and faithfulness. He loved us so much. He loved you so much that he wasn't going to be willing to allow you just to bumble around in the darkness forever. That he was going to come, the light. And as the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, those who believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. The light enters our life. And this is the beauty that he talks about. Continues in John 3. This is Jesus' words himself. When asked, he says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. God sent his one and only Son. He's the gift to the whole world for anyone who believes. And what's interesting is all of our own good, righteous acts, the scriptures say are like filthy rags compared to the Lord. There's nothing we can do on our own to earn good standing with Christ or to make our way to God. Philosophers for years, centuries before Jesus even said, we are so in need of God to reach down to us because we have no capacity to get to him. Like there's no way. If we truly believe God created all this, we are so far below where he is at. And that's what Christmas is Christ stepped into our land. The light came into the darkness to make a way for us. God sent his Son. And as much as our righteous acts are like filthy rags, a verse that came up to me, or reminded me of this evening was, what we receive in receiving the gift of Christ is in Isaiah 61:10. It says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. That we can be overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, for he dressed me with clothing of salvation, and he draped me in a robe of righteousness. And that just struck me, because that's what we have in Christ. It's a free gift. His righteousness is wrapped around us. What he is, his light, his brilliance, his holiness, his perfection, takes and covers my imperfection. My sin is redeemed in Christ. And as much as a 10-year-old was so excited about this red robe from a movie, how much more excited can we be, each and every one of us, that we receive a robe of righteousness from Christ? And it's all possible because he sent his one and only son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And that story finishes with Simeon saying these last words to the parents. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him, and then Simeon blessed them. And check out this blessing. It doesn't seem like a blessing. And he said to Mary and baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall." Where are you going with this? "But he will be a joy to many others." That sounds great. "He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him." It's like this balance here. "As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Speaking to Mary, which I think happened when he was crucified on the cross. I can't imagine a mother seeing that. But the hope she had 3 days later when he rose from the dead, defeating even the grave. It's that hope, that joy we have in Christ, that Christ, this little baby, was a gift to all of us. But it's the life he lived that enables us to have right standing with Christ for all who believe. And my hope for you and all of us this Christmas season is that whether you have an imperfect house or imperfect holiday, or you just say, "My life is imperfect," or "I can resonate with that walking in darkness thing," that you would find and be reminded of the light and the gift of Christ. That what we have in him, that he is what brings perfection. He is perfect. He is holy. He is right. And we can have him. It's a free gift. And so we're going to continue this evening. I'm going to pray, and the man's going to come up, and we're going to continue with our evening of worship. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in the midst of this world that is filled with so many trials, there's so much pain, Lord, there's so many hardships, and we strive for perfection, Lord. We strive and know we want to be better, even in our life. Lord, that you came to redeem us. You came to make a way, Lord, when there was no way. Lord, that you sent your son, born in an imperfect picture, Lord, to bring us to a place of perfection in you. Jesus, we are grateful for your gift. Lord, I pray that this evening as we continue in worship, Lord, that we would see the gift of your son, the birth of Jesus, as a light in our own life. Lord, may it be the first time or the 100th time, Lord, may we see through your light again. And may we praise you this evening for your gift of salvation, a light to everyone. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.